we present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a job advertisement from the Job Centre, read by Corey Caulfield.
Submarine engineer. Location, Bath.
And our thanks to Stephen Hopkin-Jones for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Francis Ween and Sue Perkins. And opposite them on my left, Carrie Quinlan and Jeremy Hardy. Francis, have a listen to this. I'd forgotten what a charming tune that is. Francis, who ran up 13 bills in just 7 minutes?
It'll be the Queen's speech.
Yes.
Nick Clegg wanted it cancelled on the grounds that we're going to have an election in a few months, so it didn't matter. But it was too late. The Queen had already set off down the Mall in her coach, and she won't be deterred. She's a game old girl. She was wearing, extraordinary thing, she was wearing an entire polar bear. Yes. And various other endangered species. Went to the House of Lords and met a few more. And she gave a very short Queen's speech, written for her by Gordon, very kindly, before he jetted off to Brussels. And it's fantastic. I mean, they're dishing out money left, right and centre. So they're giving lots of money to the poor, to the old, to the young. They're going to pay off half the national debt. And you think, how could he possibly afford all this? And you think, he doesn't have to. He's not going to be Prime Minister. And that's how it works.
But it's going to be the law now that the government has to halve the national debt. Is that in, what is it, 4 years or something, halve the national debt?
Well, it won't be the law.
But what will happen if you break the law? You go on the naughty step. I don't know what will happen.
No, it was all a lot of nonsense because it's all completely academic. There was even a bit saying consumers will be able to get financial education. And this is going to come from the banks, rather brilliantly.
Apparently, under the Crime and Security Bill, parents will be forced to take more responsibility for their children, and I swear you could hear the Queen grinding her teeth when she had to read that.
There was one also, wasn't there, about the elderly are going to get help in their homes rather than have to go to nursing homes. And it was quite nice seeing a pensioner who has an awful lot of help in her home announcing that.
I'm not going to Sandringham. I'm not going.
Do you not think it would be good, though, if all the help in care homes had to dress up in tights as well? I think it would be those funny little costumes that those boys
wear. Nick Clegg said something like, no amount of pageantry can cover the fact that this government's, you know, on its last legs. And I thought, he's actually mocked the pageantry of the whole thing, which is, that's treason. Once you actually point the finger at the fact that it all just looks like an amateur production of the Pirates of Penzance.
One of the things that was criticised was that the Queen didn't mention expenses, did she?
No.
In the speech. And I thought, well, it wasn't a good moment to mention a few quid for the horse and carriage to Westminster, was it? I don't think. That's the kind of thing you do privately later on.
Yeah, she's not going to invoice during the speech, is she?
No. Did you see, this is the most of the many things that I had through the letterbox lately to gifts you could give. There's a catalogue called Good Gifts. And one of the things you can give is a certificate that says you have given away 20 quid or whatever it is to pay off a bit of the national debt.
No.
And that this would be a good gift for your grandchildren. Can you imagine the face of a small child?
Oh, it used to be like beehives and goats for Africa.
Yeah, no, now the idea is...
Our national debt's worse than Africa's national debt now, so...
That's a great present, a goat in Africa, because there's no way your child can prove that you haven't really done it. I have bought you a goat, darling, it's in Africa.
I once adopted a pet sheep for my daughter when she was young at London Zoo, and they send you a photograph of the sheep and a little adoption certificate, and she said to me, when can we visit? So I thought, well, we'll go and visit. Pouring with rain, chucking with rain. We went to the petting zoo. There were about 6 sheep, and not one of them, although I had the photograph with me, would own up to having been adopted by my daughter. The sight of a 6-year-old child weeping amongst sheep that are not hers.
The sheep has to wait till it's 18 and then it can contact you.
It'd be nice, though, to say, oh, Colin's the black sheep of the family and really mean it.
Do you know, it would be worth adopting a black sheep just to be able to say that. In the last Queen's speech of this Parliament, Gordon Brown laid out his stall before the forthcoming general election.
Stall? He laid out his stall?
He's turned into Gillian McKee.
It is.
No wonder it didn't go down well.
It's not my fault I'm foreign. Gordon Brown has put economic recovery at the heart of his plans before the next election. Well, good luck with that. The Queen's speech marked the start of the campaign for next year's general election. Brown denied this, although I think the free can of iron brew for every Labour voter bill says otherwise. 2 points to Francis. Sue, who's been setting a new president?
Ooh.
Hey? Hey?
Well, yes, this is the...
hot news.
The hot-off-the-press news of the EU presidency. Many people were touted as possibilities for the job. My money was always on Jedward, beaten at the very last minute by Herman Van Rompuy, who's a little-known Belgian guy. I think he's maybe the Brummies, did they, or something like that. And Schwein Mel very cool. And that doesn't really upset anybody, as opposed to Blair, who upsets just about everyone in the cosmos with a brain.
There was one British official who said, the fact is that Mr. Blair is the A-team. And you think, no, there were four people in the A-team. And not one of them was a war criminal. I remember that.
And you're unlikely to think, yeah.
No, but that's why they were being hunted down by the military police, because they were set up as war criminals, the A-team, at the beginning of the show.
Have you got the annual?
And I was a member of the fan club, my friend.
Right.
And... oh, yeah.
Do we know anything about him, this man?
He's Belgian. Haikus.
He what?
He writes haikus.
Haikus? Oh, he writes poetry?
Yeah, well, haikus. But he's Belgian, and it was a desperate attempt to make himself more interesting. And it worked. He's now the president of Europe.
I did love that they said that these 27 heads of state were going to have this dinner together, and they were each going to bring something different to the table. You think, well, what would that be? I mean, you can imagine the French bring the wine, right? The Germans the cakes. Britain chooses the napkins.
And Gordon brings his stool.
Just suppose that Belgian leaders drive around in limousines with tin-tinned windows.
No, not.
Do you know,
no,
it's quite difficult
all.
To do a brand new Belgian leader joke, can I just say? The 27 EU leaders have met over dinner to decide on the new president of the European Union. I had rather hoped that I was going to be elected. It could have happened. I'm very big in Denmark. Well, comparatively, a lot of buildings are made of Lego.
You're not even Danish anymore, practically.
Well, I am still Danish until I pass the life in the UK test, which I'm finding quite tricky.
Are you doing a citizenship test?
I am doing the citizenship test. I defy anybody in the room born here to pass the bloody thing. It's
it the practical or the theory that you're failing on?
It's very complicated. It's full of percentages, and it's quite.
What are the things that this country still manufactures apart from Kendall mint cake and instruments of torture?
Bitterness, just pure bitterness. Envy.
Yeah.
And toilet roll holders shaped as knitted ballerinas.
Well, I haven't taken the test yet, so I'm still foreign at the moment.
You can always fail and get deported.
Well, you know, look on the bright side.
Thanks, Carrie. 2 points to Sue. Carrie, who took on the Turnip Taliban and won?
That was Ms. Truss.
Yes.
Who was Conservative, or is Conservative Party candidate for Norfolk South West, I think.
Yes.
And she got into trouble. The local party didn't want her to become their candidate because she'd had an affair a few years ago. But I quite like the idea that someone called Truss lacked support.
This is, of course, David Cameron, who people may well elect, who has championed localism, who's championed the voice of the little person in the little village who wants to stand up for all corners of Britain, who believes we all have a voice, who believes in the potent force of democracy and yet will crush every single atom of his party that doesn't follow the main centralised line.
But the leader of the Taliban was this wonderful man called Sir Jeremy Bagg. And he gave an interview at the weekend saying, oh, some people say it's because we're against women. That's not true. Nothing against women. Who do you think irons my shirts and makes my dinners? They're jolly useful in their place.
Sir Jeremy Bagg, former High Sheriff of Norfolk.
Yeah. I love the idea of a High Sheriff.
That's
I love
fabulous.
The windswept streets, the tumbleweed, him with a couple of old pistols.
I once got heckled by the Lord Lieutenant of Oxfordshire.
Was he just on his own? Or was...
No, I was doing a thing and I said that I didn't think we should have a monarchy and he went, shame! Poshest heckle ever.
It's not much of a heckle, is it?
I thought it was brilliant.
I like them if they have a verb in them, usually. Yeah.
The Tory party faithful in Norfolk are rebelling against the fact she's had an affair, obviously not realising that infidelity is one of the core values of the Conservatives over the years. Let's think back to John Major, Tim Yeo, to Cecil Parkinson. It's basically it's a time-honoured, established way of behaving within
Yeah, but she's a mistress, you know. She's supposed to be the loyal, faithful mistress. She's not supposed to become a candidate in her own right. That's like tradesmen coming in the front door.
No. They've got T-shirts with E.T. Go Home, apparently, in Norfolk for Elizabeth Truss, yeah. They're like, well, proud of that. That's the best joke they never made in Norfolk. They're like, but well, made up.
It is one of those places where the post office has been closed just when it was finally being accepted, isn't it?
Liz Truss saw off an attempt to deselect her as Tory candidate in southwest Norfolk after an affair with Tory MP Mark Field was revealed. Liz Truss and Mark Field are the modern-day John Major and Edwina Curry, but without the bristling sexuality. 2 points to carry. Jeremy, which company has suffered a record theft?
Oh, T-Mobile. Mm. Well, all it is that more people will be rung up by people because somebody at T-Mobile stole and sold on people's phone numbers and names and sold them to other mobile phone companies so that they can then ring those people up. The thing is, they ring you up anyway, even if they don't know your name. People ring you up to bother you. I don't think you should be allowed to ring people up unless you've been formally introduced to them. Because all day long the phone is ringing and people are saying, oh, how much do you pay for your domestic home contents insurance? I think, if I knew what I paid for my domestic home contents insurance, I would kill myself. I mean, every year I promise myself that I'm going to start to learn Spanish and Arabic. And until I've at least made a start on one of those, I am not going to spend time memorising random facts about the various amounts of money that come in and out of my life, which, by the way, is nearly over. I'm not going to squander my remaining years talking with strangers about tariffs. You know, I mean, I try and set aside 10 or 12 hours each day for staring into space. I don't have time. I don't have time to talk to people from T-Mobile about things I don't understand or care about.
Is this cold calling?
Yeah.
What is cold calling? They ring you up.
It's heartless, callous
calling. So if you're going to get unfriendly people on the phone, I've got relatives for that. I don't need T-Mobile ringing me up.
When I was little, we had an evening where a heavy breather kept ringing up. And there were about three phone calls, three times it was this heavy breather. So the next time the phone rang, for some reason, we had an ARP whistle on the mantelpiece. And so the next time the phone rang, Mum picked the phone up, blew this ARP whistle down the phone, and it was Grandma.
Well, she'd have recognised that it was an ARP whistle. Yeah, exactly. I know a good heavy breather joke. There's an old Jewish lady answers the phone one night. She says, hello. This voice says, I want to come round your house. I want to pull your knickers down. I want to have sex with you all night long. She says, all this you can tell from hello? True story. I was that old Jewish lady.
And the caller was from T-Mobile.
This T-Mobile thing, though, they didn't lose the stuff, right? They sold it.
It was sold by a thief.
It says here, T-Mobile's slogan is life's for sharing.
I had someone knock on the door the other day and...
I hate it when that happens.
And it was two very nice... It was a Sunday and two very nice, well-dressed elderly people and they said, have you heard the good news about Jesus? And I said, no, what is it? They said, he can now supply your gas and electricity.
Millions of personal records of T-Mobile telephone users have been stolen by a former employee and sold to rival firms. T-Mobile said it was surprised that details of the investigation had been made public. Yes. Isn't it terrible when private information gets into the wrong hands? Well done there, T-Mobile. At the end of round one, the scores are Francis and Sue have got 4 points, but so too have Carrie and Jeremy. And we start round two with a cutting from the Evening Standard.
Bravery Award for Nigel's tackle. And our thanks to Jane Beale from Leamington Spa for sending us that. Sue, why is it all change for closed kiosks and broken toilets?
Ah, yes, this is Lord Adonis. Mm. The life peer of love. whose name certainly writes checks that the face cannot cash. And he's been travelling around, Lord Adonis. He's been travelling around on British railways to see what they're like and if they really exist. And they do. And he's been basically sequestered drinking a nice 1967 Montrachet on a calf-skin chaise longue while sort of saying, my God, look at that, what is it? Is that the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse? No, it's the four wheels of the buffet cart and it's coming your way. He has been appalled, as only a lord can be, by the way the rest of us live. And he's been going around and remarking on the substandard facilities. He was appalled that in Southampton he arrived and couldn't buy posset and a boar's head and some...
You make him sound as if he's some ancient duke. He's the son of Cypriot refugees, for heaven's sake.
I do think there was a sense, Francis, of him expecting Bernard Cribbins sweeping the platform and Jenny Agutter waving her knickers at a stranger. I did think there was a sort of...
know that railways are appalling places to be, but that's part of the joy. Part of the joy in travelling by train is, when will the toilet erupt? Will the carpet be sufficient to absorb the overflow? What does she mean when she bellows on the tannoy, there's a wide array of snacks from cakes, pastries and chocolate? That's the end of the wide array. That girl's got carb goggles. That's all she sees. It's not a wide array, love. It's basically all cakes and sugar.
But he wants to spend £50 million on making the stations better. Wouldn't it be cheaper to make the trains worse?
He's not got any of it right. He's basically... Yes, it's a sort of snapshot of a sort of disinterested traveller. What they should focus on.
He's doing a brilliant job. Leave the man alone. Ever since he became Minister for Trains, all he's done is race around the country on trains. Norman Baker, the Lib Dem MP down in Lewis, said, you should come and see my station and my train service. It's useless. And Adonis said to him, right, I'll meet you at 5:30 a.m. on the platform tomorrow. And he did. Just like that.
5:30 a.m.? What's really? Wrong with
that? Oh, was there steam and was there Rachmaninoff in the background?
he had something in his eye.
Oh.
Transport Secretary Lord Adonis has announced £50 million for Britain's most dilapidated railway station. Lord Adonis said he was aghast arriving at Southampton Station and finding nowhere you could get a hot drink. And I can say that I was aghast last time I got to Southampton Station because I was meant to be in Woking. I'd had rather a good lunch, so there we are. 2 points to Sue. Carrie, why are atheists thoughtless?
This is about Thought for the Day on the Today programme.
Yes.
And there's been talk of allowing atheists to be the Thought for the Day person. And this week it's been decided, no, you can't. You don't believe in nothing. Rubbish. What are you going to talk about? Nothing. Rubbish. So, atheists and secularists and humanists are not eligible to do Thought for the Day, which I think's quite good, really, because the last thing I want of a morning is Richard Dawkins screaming through my radio about how much clever he is than me.
I hate Dawkins. He's a fundamentalist atheist, is what he is.
Yeah.
He's a Jehovah's I never saw nothing.
I don't want... I have to say, I'm not religious, but I don't want thoughtful people on Thought for the Day. You don't want
rational
people.
But you don't get them.
No, but that's
it's
why
Anne
I like...
It's Atkins,
but that's exactly why I like it, because without that fury in the morning, I would never get up.
Yes.
Without those few little words. And now Thought for the Day with Anne Atkins.
Yeah, ooh. And you just... But anyway...
And then the thought is this. Must turn that off.
I think there should just be weird, random thoughts. They just have somebody on who says things like... Wonder why they don't make spoons longer so they reach the bottom of a jar of salad cream. If you're religious, you say something like, the other day I was wondering why they don't make spoons long enough to reach the bottom of a jar of salad cream. And I thought, that's a bit like Jesus.
It is anything, isn't it? I was mowing the lawn and I thought mowing the lawn is like Jesus. Yeah. And just like...
I used to like Rabbi Lionel Blue because there was no pretense at anything to do with theology at all. He'd just be like, two Jews go into a betting college.
But I think there seems to be this sort of misconception. The atheist sort of campaign to be on Thought for the Day makes it sound like Thought for the Day is an advert.
I think they should just have a thought. They should just have someone there thinking.
Yeah, just total silence.
It's like when there were those programmes, when, you know, those dreary programmes on Sunday mornings where people look at the papers and they say, oh, we've got some guests here reading the papers. I just wish the people would just sit quietly.
The BBC Trust has rejected calls for non-religious contributors to be allowed on Thought for the Day, ruling that it doesn't breach their self-imposed impartiality guidelines. For many people, Thought for the Day is a massively important part of their daily routine. It's that 2.5-minute window where you can use the hairdryer without missing any of the good bits of the Today programme. 2 points to Carrie. At the end of round two, I can tell you the scores are Carrie and Jeremy have got 9 points, but Francis and Sue are in the lead with 10. And before we start round three, here's a cutting from the St Andrew's Church magazine.
In last month's edition, in the article about Eric Liddell, rapist monks should have read Trappist monks.
Thanks to Pamela Norris from Hackney Wick for sending us that. Francis, who's ordered a scotch under the rocks?
Scotch?
A scotch under the rocks.
Sue's looking blank as well.
That's I'm afraid, genetic default position for me.
There's something about Shackleton and whiskey.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, don't pretend you know now. Yeah. Like those people who smile at the end of Mastermind when it says, and at the end of that round, you scored no points, and they go through the real answers, and the person just sits there going,
What do you know about Shackleton and whiskey?
He left some behind at the poll. But they want to bring back a sample of this whiskey. I mean, even just a little test tube full, so they can, it's like DNA of whiskey, they can recreate this lost brand of whiskey.
I mean, I
so
love...
it's basically Jurassic Pub.
He might have weed in the bottle, mightn't he?
There's a chap called Al Fassier of the New Zealand Heritage Trust, and he said it's better to imagine it than to taste it. That way it keeps its mystery. And I just can share with you that is the same is exactly true of a Heinz London Grill meal in a can. If anybody's... Anybody see this stuff about heavy drinkers?
Yes, they live longer. It's terrifically good for you.
Well, men
live longer. It saves you from heart attacks. Mm.
That's fantastic. All your other organs pack up and you die, but your heart is just so pickled and fortified with drink, it just completely outlives. And it leaps out of the coffin, bursting the lid off, and then splays blood over the flames of the crematorium to stop it being cremated, and makes a break for the doors and gallops across the countryside. And everybody, all the congregants chase after it with sticks.
In the report... The report did say that alcohol protects men's hearts, and I can only presume that's by making the liver swell up so much it acts as padding. A team of New Zealand explorers has been asked to find a batch of whiskey that Sir Ernest Shackleton left at the South Pole in 1909. An expert told the BBC that a whiskey can survive indefinitely if it is stored correctly. That is to say, if it's kept upright in dark conditions and in a place seldom visited by Scotsmen. Sue, what's helping women simulate stimulation?
Ah, yes, this is the female Viagra, which has been a long time coming. And this is a fantastic drug, it says on the packet, in my bag. Basically, it doesn't work as an antidepressant at all. So the main thing you take it for, which is to lift your mood, it fails at, but it makes you very, very oversexed. So sad and Randy. What a magical combination. Now, ladies, you can sit and contemplate suicide on the washing machine as it's set to fast spin cycle.
But this thing is called flibanserin. That's not... surely we need a better name. I see about female Viagra, right? I thought of Viagrette, but it sounds like something you put on salad.
we've all made that mistake. Yeah. They do think it was a sort of an accidental discovery, accidental in very much that sense that people turn up at A&E and go, well, I was just walking around and suddenly my pants unfurled and there was a stairwell and I fell down it and there seemed to be a banana erect at the bottom. And honestly, it was all a terrible accident.
Oh, but my mum used to be a nurse, And so a man came into the hospital with a gas tap up him.
Did he leave the house behind, or was he...
But my mum, who was quite young and naive at the time, took a look at him and went, "How on earth did he swallow that?"
This is the news that a failed antidepressant called flibanserin has been shown to increase sexual desire in women with flagging libidos and could be available in as little as 18 months. Results of the trial were announced at a meeting of the European Society for Sexual Medicine. I believe Marvin Gaye is their patron. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along, Mr. Ween.
Sandy, this is a headline from The Guardian this week. BNP confirms Nick Griffin to stand as barking candidate.
Ms. Perkins.
This is from Tony Swan in Castle Acre. In the Gymnastics World Championships of the O2 Arena, Beth Tweddle fell from the asymmetric bars, but still qualified for the final on the floor.
Ms. Quinlan.
This is from James Maynell in Oxfordshire from the Telegraph Listings magazine. 9 o'clock, Horizon. Comedian Alan Davis asks, "How long is a piece of sting?"
Mr. Hardy.
Ms. Togsvig, this was sent in by Jill Fenner. Cristiano Ronaldo's penchant for super tight shorts has created a new market for retailers. Said Paul Baldwin, Debenhams director for buying menswear, his sense of style has moved men's shorts into an entirely new ball game.
Let's take a look at the final score. I can tell you that Carrie and Jeremy have got 14 points, but Francis and Sue won with 15. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from the North Wales Chronicle sent to us by Leslie Haslam.
Have you seen our missing cat, Bert, possibly wearing a red collar with Ernie name tag?
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news calls were Francis Ween, Sue Perkins, Carrie Quinlan and Jeremy Hardy. In the chair was Sandy Toxwig, and the news was read by me, Corrie Caulfield. The chair's script was written by Simon Littlefield, James Sherwood and John Luke Roberts, with additional material by James Kettle, Miriam Ellier and Gareth Gwynn. The producer was Victoria Lloyd.
To listen again to any of our comedies on Radio 4, please go to bbc.co.uk/radio4/comedy.